Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. Just a minute, I want to talk to you about a key to effective leadership, something that I believe is very important and vital if you're going to be a long-term leader. But before I do, I want to remind you of a date coming up. It is April 25th. I'm going to be out in Rancho Cucamonga, and I will be doing a roundtable. This roundtable that we've been doing across the nation has had great traction. People have literally flown in from all over to come and to participate. People are learning the power of the room. As I've often said, when you listen, you add to your life, but when you're in the room, you multiply your life. And this is a multiplication opportunity. All of you on the West Coast, you can come and be a part. And I'm just telling you, the information will help you a whole lot. It will be an effective way to develop your leadership. Also, I want to remind you that we now have the schools of leadership. We have three of them, one in Seattle, one in the San Antonio area, one here. Next year, or towards August, forgive me, we will be starting two more. We'll be starting one that will be in the California area, and we'll be starting one in Michigan. And these schools have just been dynamic. And if that's an interest to you, you can reach out to my team, and they will gladly talk to you about what that feels like and what that looks like. Now, it's a commitment. You don't go to the next level without being committed. And so this isn't casual. This is a commitment. But the organizations that are doing it have had great fruit. And for those of you that want a simpler way, you can look at the videos. And the videos we now have in Spanish also, so they give you an opportunity. That being said, today I want to talk to you about a key to effective leadership, a key to effective leadership. Those of you that have been to many roundtables or many events that I do know that we have a Q&A period. That is where people ask me questions about issues we've covered or things that we haven't covered. But there's a question I've never been asked, and I really want to address it today. And the question is this: if people were to ask me, what are the parts of my life that are critical to who I am that no one gets to see? So what is that part of my life that no one else gets to see that I believe is critical, that it is one of the engines that drives my leadership capacities and capabilities? Well, if I were to answer that question, I would say reflection. I would say that I've never been asked how I spend my personal time. Everyone talks about the prayer time, which I pray more today than I've ever prayed. People talk about the thought time, that I write more than I've ever written today. But the key ingredient that I believe has been able to give me sustainability has been reflection. And the Bible talks about this, but it uses different words. It uses the word meditation. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O God. And then David talks about it in a very introspective way when he says, search me, O God, and try me, and show me if there be any wicked way. And then when David says, examine my heart. So reflection is always out there. And probably another word that I think everyone has a hard time translating is the word Selah, where literally you'll be reading a psalm and then it'll say Selah, and everyone thinks that word means pause, but it's really a reflective moment. And then when it was said to Mary, the angel said that the announcement of who Jesus was going to be and that she was going to be a pivotal part of that process. And it says she pondered these things in her heart. See, that's reflection. I remember decades ago listening to a Harvard business podcast, and as I was listening to it, they were interviewing a man who specialized in Fortune 500 leaders. And he was being asked a whole lot of questions because he was a psychologist. He would spend personal time with them. So you're getting the inside look at high effective leadership. And as he's being asked all these technical questions, it sort of seemed like a just throw off at the end where the announcer just threw a question out there that really hadn't been thought through. And he asked this question. He said, what is the one thing that determines a good CEO from a bad CEO? And you would think that there would be an elaborate answer, but the psychologist turned and he said, oh, that's simple, reflection. And the person who was interviewing said, well, what do you mean, reflection? And he says, leaders that reflect, they're good leaders. Leaders who do not reflect end up being bad leaders. He said, well, describe that to me. He said, every leader makes decisions, and every leader makes tough decisions. But he says, a good leader will reflect on those decisions, and as he reflects on them or she reflects on them, they will ask the questions, could I have done it better? Could I have done it different? What are the ramifications? What are the unintended consequences of this decision? And as a result of that, they begin to learn, and they begin to learn about themselves. He said, a bad leader will just say, I made the decision and that's it. So every decision is like its own decision, and it's never a reference point to build and be more successful with the next tough decision. See, that's what I've learned. I spend a whole lot of time reflecting. Those of you that have ever been around me when I'm on the road, you know that I don't go out and play a whole lot. I'm not the person who's running here and running there. And I think that's a disappointment sometimes to some of the hosts that I'm with, that I'm not the highly engaging, let's go do this event or do that event. Because when I'm on the road, I'm there for a purpose. I'm there to help people, and I'm there to bring leadership and spiritual value to the context that I'm in. And with that being said, I need to be able to process, and a part of that process is the prayer time. A part of that process is the reflection time, and a part of that process is the thinking or the writing time. But none of those happen without reflection time. It just is required. So let me talk to you a minute. Reflection takes time. That's why most people don't do it. See, if you're going to be a reflective leader, then you're going to have to take the time to do it. You can't force someone to reflect. You can't force them to do that. But what you can do is you can turn around and you can teach them the value of reflection, the value of filtering, the value of thinking. So reflection takes time. And it's built into my day every day to have reflection moments. That is a part of it. The Selah moments, the meditate on these things, think on these things kind of moments that the Bible talks about. And what that means is that reflection takes discipline. That's why people don't continually do it. And so when a lot of people talk about, hey, taking a sabbatical, it's theoretically so they can reflect and they can have time to reflect. But I believe if you're going to be a valuable leader, that has to be built into your life, and it has to be built into your life every day. That doesn't mean sabbaticals are wrong. It just means that if you don't build reflection into your life and you're waiting every 7 years to have a moment of sabbatical, you're going to do a whole lot wrong and you're not going to learn a whole lot of lessons. The next thing is that reflection requires honesty. That's why people don't like doing it. If you put the average person in a room and you just ask them to sit and to think through their life, or you give them the choice and say you can take 15 minutes to be in that room all alone and think through your life, and I'll give you $100, or you can put your finger on this little button and it's going to hit you with a little bitty mini charge and you can leave that room before the 15 minutes, you'll find out the majority of people will take the charge over sitting 15 minutes and just reflecting. Why? Most people don't want to be honest with themselves. And we have this phrase, well, let's be real. Well, if you're going to be real, you got to be real with you before you're real with anyone else. I know a lot of people who want to be real with everybody else, but they don't want to be real with themselves. And the thing about reflection is it requires honesty. And you have to be able to look at yourself and you have to be able to stare at yourself. And sometimes that is very, very uncomfortable. I know it is for me. But on the other hand, as much as it takes time and discipline and honesty, it also, excuse me, it also needs boundaries. And when I talk about boundaries, if you don't have boundaries to your reflection, you can take it from being a moment of conviction to condemnation. And if you're just tearing yourself apart on the inside, that's an unhealthy behavior. That's just unhealthy. So reflection takes time, reflection takes discipline, and reflection takes honesty, and reflection must have boundaries. So what is reflection? It is where you take the experiences of life and create revelation from them. See, everyone lives life, but not everyone learns from life. And reflection is where you learn from life. And so that's why most people's lives are just on repeat. And their lives just are a sequence of the same things happening over and over again because they never learn to get better. They never learn to get smarter or better. And reflection is where you take the experiences. They've lived life, but you reflect so you learn from life. See, reflection creates revelation. Reflection creates revelation. You know how in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 18, it says that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, what it says is we pray for wisdom and revelation. It doesn't say that we pray for knowledge. Knowledge is just life that's happening. But from life that happens, you can get wisdom and revelation. And so revelation comes from reflection. And reflection is where you gain insight so you don't have to keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. See, if you're a learner, you want to learn new things. You don't want to keep learning old things. You literally want to learn new things. Things that you didn't know, things that you didn't understand, you want to learn them. But for most people, life is just relearning and relearning and relearning. And it's like, how many laps do you want to run? How many times do you want to chase that rabbit? How many times do you want to be on a treadmill where you're giving maximum effort, but you're not going anywhere? Reflection helps you create improvement. It helps you create improvement. It's where you gain insight so you don't have to repeat. Reflection is where you pause to literally mind the lessons of life. So in the way that they would go into a hill and they would dig out rocks there, because in the midst of the rocks, there were little specks of gold, and they would begin to take those little specks of gold out of the rock. That's what you're doing with reflection. You're finding the little specks of gold. If I had my iPad and I could open it up and show you, I am thinking all the time because of my reflective nature. And I'm always thinking of a thought. I'm thinking of better words to say a thought. I'm thinking of better ways to present a thought. And I'm thinking of better thoughts, just better thoughts. And see, that's what reflection does. It allows you to begin to evolve what is basic and turn it into something that is pure. It lets you get the rock out of the way so you just see the gold. It lets you sift through the dirt so you have what is valuable. That's what reflection does. So, what are some of the keys to reflection? Well, we've talked about it. It takes time if you don't set aside time. It takes discipline if you don't do it on a regular basis. And if you're not honest, if you're not willing to look at yourself, because you're going to be able to see yourself better than you see anyone else. But the keys to reflection, it requires intention. If you're not intentional, you're not going to reflect. So for me, I always have something that when a thought comes, I don't lose it. When revelation begins to occur, that I don't let it slip through my hands. Too many people think thoughts and then lose the thoughts and then have to spend energy to go back and try to find the thoughts. So whether you want to call it a journal, whether you want to put it in your iPad, when you have a thought, write it down. When you have something of value, put it in a place. So it requires intention. You're going in there intentionally to come out better. So you don't reflect just because you want to reflect. You reflect because you want to come out better. Now, reflection is having a prayerful heart. And when I say a prayerful heart, what that means is the Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing. Well, someone says, well, how can I live life and always be in prayer? I think what it's saying is this: never be far from the throne room. Never be far from the throne room. Always pray and stay connected to God. So it's no different that with the lady that I love the most, Jenny, I'm always connected to her. So we're texting through the days. Sometimes we're emailing through the days. Sometimes we're calling through the days. And there may be 7 or 8, 10 little connection moments that will happen while I'm at work and while she's at work. Well, the thing about those moments is this: they're not long, but they're frequent. And they keep us connected to each other. And that's what prayer does. Prayer keeps you in the presence of God. It keeps you around where God can birth and give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So you've just learned to pray and you've learned to stay close to the throne room. And then I think you have to have a plan. If you've ever been with me, and I do a roundtable, in fact, the two people that are with me the most would be Tony Cook, and then it would be Cody Brooks, my son. And as soon as we're over, I'm asking questions. I'm asking them questions. Well, what did you think about this? And it doesn't matter how many times we've done that roundtable. I'm always asking questions. Why? I don't want to be satisfied with a current outcome. I want there to be something better in the future. So every time I converse, is there a way that I could say that better? Did I say that in a tone that was too heavy or too hard? Did I say it in a way that was acceptable? Did I speak truth, but did I speak truth with the right atmosphere? Did we answer questions? Did we navigate those questions, or did we muddle through them? And so one of the things is you plan for them. And as you plan for them, you begin to understand there's always going to be moments. So in the military, they call it an after-action report, that anytime you go into combat, they're immediately debriefing you. And the reason they debrief you is they want to know what you saw, what you felt, what you learned. Because what you saw, what you felt, what you learned could save the next person's life. And so if you're good at your after-action report, then you're going to be good at helping other people survive things that you've gone through. And boy, isn't that what we want to do? We want to help people who are going to go through some of the similar things we go through them better. And that's what reflection does. See, reflection is where you ask yourself questions. See, the most important questions are not the questions that others ask you. It's the questions that you ask you. Those are the most important. Because when others ask you questions, that usually requires information. But when you ask you questions, that requires transformation. And transformation is what we're about. We want to be better at who we are and what we do. And so reflection is where you ask questions. And reflection is where you turn down the volume so you can hear your heart. The Bible talks about deep crying unto deep. Well, you have to be able to hear deep. And so you're going to have to go deep inside. And to go deep inside, you're going to have to cut down the volume on the outside. And the level of volume on the outside is so loud right now that it can be deafening so that you never hear your heart. And so the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart, not your head, your heart, Let them be acceptable in your sight, O God. And so we want to be able to hear our hearts. So we've got to turn down the volume. And what does that take? Well, for some of you, it's going to take some time in prayer because you're not used to turning down the volume. For some of us that have done this a long time, we've done it frequently and we've done it regularly, we know how to turn down the volume. We know where the volume knob is and we can turn that down quicker. But if you're young, it takes time to learn that. And if you're not willing to invest time, there will always be more noise to drown out your heart. Now, here's the thing, is reflection works because when you reflect, you release the gas pedal and you begin to downshift. And what that means is that in most of our lives, there's a calling. There's something that we were put here to do, where the calling is the gas pedal. That is where you put your foot down. And people like doing what they were put here to do. Whatever they were put here to do, let's put it down. But when you reflect, you've got to take your foot off the gas pedal and you have to downshift. You've got to say, I'm going to slow everything down. I'm going to slow my breathing down. I'm going to slow my heart rate down. I'm going to slow everything down. I'm going to slow down life, and I am going to be in a reflective mood. And someone says, can you do all that? Absolutely. And another thing about reflection, if it's going to work, is everything has to be on the table. Everything has to be on the table. Nothing sacrosanct. Everything has to be on the table for you to reflect. And what that means is filter through what matters and what doesn't. See, that's the first part of Revelation, is just filtering and saying, hey, 80% of my life, it's not worth reflecting on. It's just stuff going on. It's events happening. It's circumstances happening. It's people yelling. It's people crying. It's the noise of life. And you've got to filter through and say, I'm not going to let all that stuff stop me from getting to the 20% that is most needed. So filter through what doesn't matter. See, what emotionally compels you isn't what spiritually can grow you. And so you've got to cut through the emotional drama of life, and there's so much of that today, and you have to dial back, and you have to filter and say, no, no, no. And so literally, if you're new at this, get a piece of paper out and say, okay, I'm thinking through my day, and these 10 things don't matter. X through them and say, these three things do matter. I'm going to think on these things. And don't chase rabbits. Don't chase the unnecessary. Chasing rabbits may be athletic, but it's not going to make you grow. It's just going to make you tired. And so don't do that. And examine when you get to the 20% by putting everything under the microscope. Look at it from heaven down. Look at it from earth up. Look at it from people beside. Look at it from multi-factors. Please understand, the nature of reflection is this. It makes you uncomfortable. But please remember, growth is never in the comfort zone. If you're not out of the comfort zone, you're not growing. So if you're very comfortable today, it's not a growth day for you. And I want to say this because I have friends that have done this a long time. And if you're listening to this podcast, you can listen to this and you're comfortable, you need to really reflect. Because being uncomfortable is where growth happens. The biggest problem for leaders today is how many people were great leaders yesterday, but they're comfortable in how they lead today. Another thing you have to realize is that character is the best outcome. So what does that mean? That means you're not going to change other people, you're going to change. And that's what reflection does. It takes the character of your life and it adds width and depth to it. And it makes your character more profound. And the best part of you is going to be who you become on the inside. And then I would just say to you, put the time in because it's worth it. And if you're going to be a profound leader, you're going to have to put the time in. All of these are thoughts I've never been asked. I've never been asked, well, what is the thing in your life that really makes you be an effective, high-level leader? And it's this, having moments of reflection. Whether you want to call it devotion, whether you want to call it me time, it's reflection. And I've just learned the more I reflect, the more revelation I get. And the more revelation I get, the more effective I become. And the more effective I become, the more I can help people. So take the journey of reflection. It's a question I'm not asked, but I think it's a great question to ask. But even more than that, it's a great principle to live out. Let me remind you, on April 25th, Rancho Cucamonga, and then we have the videos. If you want sort of the cheat code to being able to learn leadership, and you can find out about those. They're not cheap, but if you want cheap leadership, you're not a leader. Leadership always costs, and it always costs you something personally. And then we have the School of Leadership. You want a mechanism to raise up leaders? You invest in the School of Leadership in your organization. Hey, love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.